Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, I'm Lynn Okhmudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Get this, only 15 of Africa's 54 nations have fully vaccinated 10% of their populations against COVID-19. That's according to the World Health Organization and International Council of Nurses. The continent is grappling with a low supply of vaccines, and some myths and misconceptions are fueling people's hesitancy and reluctance to get immunized. Nevertheless, a growing number of countries are mandating vaccination on the continent, which observers say will encourage more people to get the jab. For more on the subject, I spoke with Tolbert Nyenswa, Senior Research Associate at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and former Deputy Minister of Health, Emergencies and Epidemic Control of Liberia. Take a listen.
Tolbert Nyenswa, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's good to join you.
It's been almost 2 years since the world has been battling COVID-19. What is your assessment of Africa's fight against the virus at this point?
Looking at the global cases and the global counts and what has happened so far, I believe Africa has made a progress, but there's more needs to be done in the COVID-19 fight. If you compare Africa with other WHO regions, like the Eastern Mediterranean region and other regions, the region of the Americas, you find out that Africa has made progress. Africa is only having 3.6% of the global cases and 4.4% of the global deaths. And if you look at, for example, the region of the Americas, where all of the resources have 39% of the cases, the region of Europe, 30% of the cases. And this tells you that even in the Southeast Asia region, 19% of the cases, it tells you that Africa is making progress. But the challenge is that the health system on our continent, the inadequacy and access to vaccines, Africa have only 4.4% of the vaccines. And if you look at also the myth and vaccine hesitancy, these are issues. But you will also know that not the entire continent is having these number of high cases. 76% of the cases are coming from just few countries. For example, South Africa, Morocco, Tunisia, Ethiopia, Libya, Nigeria, and Kenya having the highest share of the number of cases on the continent.
So one of the challenges has been the variants that have emerged. What do we know about other variants, such as the C.1.2 that was found in South Africa and also the Mu variant?
The issue of variant or mutation, as you may call it, once there is active transmission and countries in which there is active COVID-19 spread really very, very high, potentially dangerous variants, you know, will emerge. And this is where we are dealing with the Alpha variant, especially on the continent of Africa, the Beta variants, the Delta variants, and other variants that we've been dealing with. And of recent, the Mu variant has been a variant of interest, like what described by, you know, both WHO and the CDC as being one of the most transmissible variants that is causing all of these dominant variants with the threat. But the good news is that with the Delta variant and other variants that we see right now, the new variants, all of the, if not all, most of the COVID-19 vaccines that have been approved by the WHO and the FDA, the US FDA, have shown some level of effectiveness and efficacy against the variants that the COVID-19 variants we're dealing with right now. This is why about 99% of people who are admitted to hospitals are people that are not vaccinated. This shows that the vaccines are working.
The vaccines are working, as you mentioned. However, one thing is that vaccinated individuals can still get infected and still transmit the virus, which is fueling some people's skepticism and hesitancy. What can you tell these people that are still hesitant?
What vaccines are supposed to do? First, vaccines supposed to prevent people from getting sick. Second, COVID-19 vaccines supposed to prevent hospitalization and third, severe disease and mortality. Those are the yardstick that we use to measure whether or not the vaccines are effective and are efficacious. And these vaccines that we have right now have proven to do just exactly prevent people from getting sick, prevent people from hospitalization, prevent people from severe diseases, and then eventually people dying. And this is why the data have shown that people who have been hospitalized right now are people who have not taken the COVID-19 vaccines. So my point here is we should go and get vaccinated. Once you have the vaccines available, what you have available is the best vaccines. Go and get vaccinated. There will always be breakthrough cases. That's normal. But the fact is that once people who get the breakthrough and are vaccinated and are not dying from the disease, then it means the vaccines are good for us to use.
Now, a growing number of countries are mandating vaccination. Countries in Africa are joining in. We also know that one of the challenges with Africa is having enough vaccine, having access to vaccines. And some countries are still scrambling to get enough vaccine. So how do we reconcile that when you don't have enough vaccine, but then you mandate vaccination?
On the African continent, our African leaders should be concerned of bringing in more supplies and access to vaccines. Overall, only 4.4% of the 1.3 billion people on the continent are getting a single shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. This is what we should be concentrating on. And another thing that of an issue on the African continent is the issue of vaccine hesitancy and people, what is available is not making its way in the hands of people who need them. Those are the two critical things that our leaders and experts on the continent should be concerned about right now. When the rest of the global world is vaccinating about 40 to 50, 60% of their populations, Africa is lagging behind. So, you know, the African Union, the Africa CDC, the WHO African region should come together now and strategize using some of the facilities that are available at the COVID vaccine facility. I have seen recently the Biden administration putting an effort to get vaccines to low middle income countries. This is a welcome news. So our people should get these shots in on the continent and sensitize the population to get them in people's arms. That's the most important thing right now. Now, for putting in vaccine passports and putting in mandates, that's good. But to regulate such a thing on the African continent where everyone is moving from one place to another place and to regulate that would be very, very much impossible. So I would think people would not want to wear their efforts on that, but make sure get access to vaccines and get it to the people that need them.
You touched on it when you talk about the reality of enforcing such policy, because when you think about busy markets, crowded public transport and community funerals, the way they happen, how realistic is it?
That makes it complicated. It is really not realistic. At the beginning of the outbreak, one of the questions that came to me was that, can Africa implement lockdown like we see in the global West, on making sure that people remain home and total lockdown. And I was one of those who advised against putting in measures that lock down the population of Africa, knowing that on a daily basis, we have to go to the market and get food. The economy is tied around, you know, daily market economy. As in Africa, people have to go to the market to get food. Water and sanitation is a challenge. Healthcare system is challenged. So to put in place lockdown was something that I know was not possible. Alternative measures are those to improve surveillance system, do community engagement, sensitization, hygiene services and all of that, and provide knowledge to the people on what to do to stop the disease.
So now, Tobias Nyanswa, we're going to go with some facts that I will ask you to either confirm or deny, because there's a lot of information out there, as you mentioned, with regards to COVID. There are information that are myth, misconception, and some are true. So let's start with our myth versus fact. And the first one is Recovering from COVID provides immunity, therefore there is no need for vaccine. Is it true or false?
It is false, outright false. The reason is that, you know, to some extent, by recovering from a disease like COVID and even Ebola and other infectious diseases, you gain some level of immunity. With COVID-19, we do not know how long will that person be immune from recovering from getting sick from the disease or hospitalized from the disease. And so the best thing to do is to get your vaccine shot. There is a synergistic effect of getting the vaccine and also getting the disease. You are more protected. So people should get their shot, whether or not they were infected from the disease.
The second one is, someone is being considered fully vaccinated after they receive two shots, if they take any vaccines outside of Johnson & Johnson, or is it after they get a booster?
It's good to get your two shots right. You know, recently the FDA have disapproved, the advisory committee, the FDA have disapproved for countries like the United States with all of the resources and vaccines all around the place. I live in the U.S. If you move around the Walgreens or Walmarts and pharmacists around, everywhere there's vaccines, you can have it. It's accessible to have that. But the United States Food and Drug Administration Advisory Committee have just struck down the recommendation of getting a booster shot. And I do support that recommendation. The reason is that the rest of the world, in low and middle income countries, that are in need of these acute shortage of vaccines, need these doses. And by using your third dose for someone, we have seen that you have a lot of protection with people who have taken the first and second shot of the Pfizer vaccine. Even there's protection of people who have taken a single dose of the J&J. So for now, let us delay the third shots. What I would advise people on the African continent is what you have available, whether it's AstraZeneca or the J&J vaccine, please go and get your shot and get protected, because the benefit of the vaccine outpaced the risks.
The next one is, the COVID-19 vaccine can alter someone's DNA. That's something we've seen on social media, we hear. So what is the fact here?
The new technology, the mRNA vaccines, are meant to teach your immune system and your body to recognize it. It doesn't give you COVID-19, neither does it alter it. And so the vaccines are safe. They teach the body to respond when you have the virus. That's what it's supposed to do. And we have seen enough data. The evidence is so strong that these vaccines can protect you from getting sick of the disease. Even those with breakthrough cases, which are rare in some cases, are getting safe from the vaccines. It don't alter your DNA.
Another belief is that antiretroviral treatment for HIV is effective against COVID-19.
That is also false. And we haven't seen evidence to see that treating people with ARVs can prevent or cure coronavirus. What is available right now as tools in the toolbox is the COVID-19 vaccines that are approved for use right now. And the good news also is that the US FDA has approved the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines for full authorization, not as it was a compassionate use, full authorization. This is where you see vaccine mandates are coming out right now, because the vaccines are approved right now. So antiretroviral drug is not an answer. The answer is get your COVID-19 vaccination.
Next, COVID vaccine affects women's menstrual cycle. It can also cause infertility in men and women.
That's also false. A wide claim that COVID-19 vaccine, even this is not only with a woman alone, even with men, we are hearing that, you know, it affects male testicles and male sexual reproduction and performance and all of that. That is not correct. And it also affects female reproductive organ, including the menstrual cycle. That is also not correct. These are all myths. Scientists have shown that there is no evidence that vaccines, including vaccines in general, and including COVID-19 vaccines, can make fertility problem and also tamper with female menstrual cycle. The RNA vaccines, as I said earlier, does not cause female sterilization. Those are myths, and people taking it are very, very much vaccines are effective to prevent you from getting COVID.
The last one is people with underlying conditions should still get the COVID vaccine.
That's correct. Diabetes, hypertension, high disease, cancer, high cholesterol, these people are eligible to get the COVID-19 vaccine. However, they should check with their physician and make sure that they get advice from their primary healthcare physician. And even those who take the COVID-19 vaccines, they do give them information that if you have these conditions, you report them, but it doesn't mean that they do not, you know, they are not eligible to have the vaccines. If you have the NSI effect and you have comorbidity, if you are having comorbidity, like some of these issues that I just mentioned, cholesterol, heart disease, you have in hypertension, and you feel that you took the vaccines and you have any problem, please report the adverse events that you are having to your physician or to the nearest facility that will document that. Because these vaccines are new and they're new technology, we are still monitoring these vaccines. Any adverse effect needs to be reported and that will be investigated. And that's how we will know that these vaccines are effective. So studies are still going on, but these vaccines so far are effective and people with comorbidity can take them.
Before we wrap, I have one more question. Experts like yourself talk about herd immunity. Is it what we're looking for and then we will stop mandating vaccines, or are we looking to vaccinate every single person?
And this is where we are advocating that everyone should get a shot. It is in the best interest of the rest of the world, not only one country taking upon themselves and still the reaching health immunity. We are in an interconnected world. If Africa right now, as it is lacking behind with only 4.4% of this population, if you get the rest of Europe and the rest of the United States is vaccinate their population, there is still a likelihood that someone could bring the virus that can reignite the entire outbreak. So getting at least 60% or 70% of the world's population would do good for everybody. This is why vaccine equity is very much important for the rest of the world. And this is why developed countries and high-income countries should make sure that people and countries who are lacking behind get the fair share of the vaccines that are being produced right now. It's a common good for health for everyone to have them than having only high-income country population. But to also give you more information, if, for example, the United States, where we are residing right now, if the population was 70% to 80% vaccinated, we will see an end to this outbreak in the United States. That's the kind of vaccine coverage we need for herd immunity. So other states and cities and communities that are not being vaccinated are having more cases as compared to those that are vaccinated. So herd immunity is important to end the outbreak. That's how we bring this outbreak to an end. Get your shot.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It was great to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you.
That was Talbert Nyenswa, Senior Research Associate at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and former Deputy Minister of Health, Emergencies and Epidemic Control of Liberia. You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It is time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, what does a free and fair election really look like? And what are the actual signs of a rigged voting system? We'll look at examples from across Africa and other parts of the world. We'll also examine whether complaints about election outcomes can make people lose faith in democracy. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Welcome back to Health Chat. The U.S. is the global leader in vaccine donations, pledging to send 1.1 billion doses to help the world fight the COVID-19 pandemic. But it has shipped only 15% of the doses it has promised. VOA's White House Bureau Chief Patsy Widakuswara has this report.
For every shot given domestically, the United States will send 3 shots abroad. That's the pledge President Joe Biden made to help vaccinate the world.
The United States is buying another 500 million doses of Pfizer to donate to low and middle-income countries around the world. This is another 500 million doses that will all be shipped by this time next year. And it brings our total commitment of donated vaccines to over 1.1 billion vaccines to be donated.
Of the 1.1 billion doses the U.S. has promised, the State Department said about 172 million have been shipped, or about 15%. The White House said 200 million more doses will go out by the end of 2021, and the remaining 800 million will be sent out by September 2022.
The claim about being the arsenal of vaccines for the world, I think, is a great talking point. It would be great to see put into action, but that can't just be about donation pledges. So I do think when we talk about access and supply of vaccines, we have to look at the overall picture of who's actually getting access.
Humanitarian organizations say 80% of administered doses have gone to rich countries and less than 1% to low-income countries. Data from analytics company Airfinity on vaccine stock in the U.S., European Union, United Kingdom, Canada, and China, countries with the biggest surplus, show an excess of 670 million doses by the end of September, even after those countries offered booster shots to everyone older than 12.
You now have a situation where you have rich countries that have 3 times as many doses as they actually need. And there's a real risk there that, one, it's leaving out much of the world, and two, we may not be able to use that full supply. We're already seeing rich countries essentially waste millions and millions of doses because they expire before they can be used.
Advocates say the U.S. should be ramping up shipments of donations now and do more to transfer vaccine technology.
President Biden could use his powers to force companies like Pfizer and Moderna to share their technology and know-how with the global platforms that have been created to do that. The World Health Organization has created an mRNA technology transfer hub in South Africa. Pfizer and Moderna have not participated. They have not offered up their technology to those hubs.
Airfinity data show vaccine manufacturers produce 1.5 billion doses per month. With more than 6 billion doses already administered globally, the WHO goal of getting the remaining 5 billion doses required to vaccinate the world's population could be achieved in months, as long as wealthy nations can loosen their grip on global supply. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
There is a new weapon against COVID-19, and it's in capsule form. VOA's Caroline Presutti explains how it's a breakthrough and why other pills have been discovered that we haven't heard about.
A stark illustration of the new number of COVID deaths in the United States, 700,000. From the White House.
That is a striking, horrifying number of lives lost.
But now, new hope. A pill that drug company Merck says prevents the coronavirus from multiplying. So promising that the clinical trials were stopped early so more lives could be saved. Taken at the onset of the disease, the pill reduces the risk of hospitalization or death by half.
They could go to their pharmacy and take their medication the way they do other medicines. This would allow us to treat many more people much more quickly, and we trust, much less expensively.
Dr. Caleb Hernandez is an emergency room doctor who also researches COVID drug discoveries. He says 3 other pills have been introduced, one that reduces the need for oxygen by 3-fold, but not under big pharmaceutical names. So they sit on a shelf without the money for FDA approval.
Our government isn't set up to spend the $500,000 to do these studies. We rely on private companies to bring things to the FDA. And that's why you're not going to see as much innovation as you could see.
Experts worry that Americans will rely more on this new pill and avoid vaccines that teach the body to make its own coronavirus antibodies. But for remote countries, pills may be easier to administer. Affordability and distribution are other factors, though. Hernandez hopes that some drug, any drug, will end the pandemic.
But all I can think about is seeing that look on your face.
He sings this tribute to a fellow doctor who quit the profession because he was burned out from COVID.
We've been going for almost 2 years now, fighting every day, watching people die. And I think it's difficult when people in the community don't believe you. They think that you're part of some conspiracy or you're exaggerating or making things up. And then you go to work and you have to pronounce multiple people dead.
Merck plans to seek approval for emergency use of the drug, which could take about 2 months. Carolyn Prasuti, VOA News.
As the coronavirus has spread in Nigeria, Africa's most populated country, so have myths about the virus, especially among children. A Nigerian author has written a children's book to help them understand the pandemic and ways to avoid being infected. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja.
A team of educators arrives at a government school in Abuja equipped with books, face masks, and sanitizers. They are here to educate school children about the coronavirus pandemic and personal hygiene. The initiative is the brainchild of team leader Raquel Kashem Daniel, a Nigerian author and founder of the nonprofit Beyond the Classroom Foundation. She started the foundation 11 years ago to help make education accessible to vulnerable children. But she says when COVID-19 hit Nigeria last year, she had to focus on teaching children how to stay safe and reduce their risk of contracting the virus through her books.
Because COVID was evolving, I knew that I wouldn't have one edition of the book. So we've had different editions of the book. I had to update it from time to time. The support that we have received has mostly come from social media and from funders who have seen our work.
The COVID-19 children's book is titled There's a New Virus in Town. It contains colorful images along with text to help children better understand the coronavirus. It also contains a quiz at the end where children can guess the next character or topic. 12-year-old Jamila Abdul was one of the readers at the Abuja school.
I wash my hands regularly and I will wear face masks, social distances, and you could keep your compound clean.
9-year-old Bekulia Oyewale says he'll keep safe in order to keep his friends safe.
I was angry because the coronavirus killed so many people, so I wanted it to not kill my friends.
Nigeria has recorded more than 200,000 cases of the coronavirus, but authorities say myths and misinformation about the pandemic continue to spread, and children are among the most susceptible. Daniel's program, which has reached some 14,000 children so far, is helping to address this problem, not only in schools, but also among vulnerable groups.
Some will say only older people are dying because God wants to save the children. And so God is cleaning the earth. We heard all sort of things. So what we do with our volunteers, because we have to train our volunteers before they go on the field, is to teach them and arm them with information about this myth. And say to them, when you get on the field, this has to debunk it.
Nigerian authorities have been making efforts to educate the public and try to overcome misinformation, which authorities blame for a slow vaccine uptake. But in the meantime, Daniel will be having an impact on kids. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For the latest news and coverage on the coronavirus pandemic, visit voanews.com. Check us out at facebook.com/voahealthchat and let's keep the conversation going. Thank you all for joining us and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lino Mudo in Washington, with producer Dan Brown. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Stay informed and up to date Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC with VOA's International Edition. Our correspondents bring you the news from around the globe, plus we delve into the context of the day's biggest stories with interviews with experts that place the story into context to understand why it matters. VOA's International Edition, your best source for news and information.
VOA
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation. Check your local TV listings and join the conversation.